Welcome to the Fit Life Podcast, connecting a clear path between the media and science to help our listeners live their fit life. I'm Kurt Solquist, your host here at Core Fit Inc. And today we are on another episode going deeper into our 8 weeks out program. So if you have not heard the other podcast prior to this, you can definitely listen to this as a standalone, but I really recommend you go back and start about three episodes ago. All of these podcasts are titled 8 weeks out or 8WO, and that'll give you the whole lineup of information that we're giving everybody for what we offer. As part of it's an overview of what we offer for our program. Everyone that's participating in the 8 weeks out program utilizes these podcasts as a reference to back up the information that we're giving them. A lot of times when we're coming in and we're working with you in our office and in our gym, we're loading up so much information, there's a lot that gets missed. So these podcasts serve as a reference to kind of go back and just help that information sink in a little bit deeper. It's one of many resources that we include in our module that gives you the podcast. It gives you lots of different actually kind of homework. I want to say that with some quotations, homework resources that you take and you utilize to help you implement the strategies that we have found our most successful clients are finding or utilizing that have resulted in lifelong changes. And that's what the 8 weeks out program is about. It's about implementing these changes that aren't just going to stick for 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks. These are the foundations, the principles of the habits that we all want to find in order to build life-changing results. So on today's episode, we cover calories, macros, micros, supplements, basically breaking that down of what is food. We all eat it, but do we know what it does in our body? Why do we eat it? Why do we need to eat broccoli? Coach says I need to eat more salad. I need to eat more meat. I need to eat more potatoes. Why? Why is that? What is the reason that what do those foods have to offer us? So we're helping give you that education right here. Hopefully this is something that everybody will eventually be learning in school and getting deeper into. And I think this would be a topic that would, you know, help all of us live better, save more money because we'd have less medical bills, and do more in our lives because we feel better all the time. So let's jump into this podcast before I go into a deeper rant. All right, guys, let's go. Hey, guys. So on this podcast, we are going to jump into what food is. We're breaking it down, and I'm here again with Therese Martinez, our registered dietitian, to help with this topic and help educate you guys on the finer points of what is a broccoli, what is a potato chip, what do they do to our body, and how do they affect our body through what makes up that potato chip. So let's start out with the bigger piece of this. We're going to break it down from, you know, the top layer down to the smallest layer. And number one is calories. We all know food is calories. What is a calorie, Therese?
So a calorie is basically a measurement of how much energy it takes to heat up, 1 gram of water to a degree of Celsius. Okay, so basically our bodies all function uniquely, okay? So we burn calories differently. A calorie is not a calorie is not a calorie, in my opinion, okay? And through experience working with folks, you know, it's different if you eat 100 calories of potato chips or 100 calories of broccoli, right? They are composed of different nutrients, and they provide different functions in our body. So we have to kind of utilize that information to help gauge what we want to eat and how much. So with that said, there are a few ways that we can go about trying to determine how much we need to eat. And there are a few variables that go into it. You know, there's your gender, your age, your fitness level, your body composition currently, and your goals, okay? So there's formulas that we can use to get a generic guideline. I think ultimately the goal is to eat a little bit more intuitively and not track on a really rigid basis. But sometimes we just don't really know. You know, we need some guidelines. We need to have kind of an idea of certain goals. And so breaking down how much a person should eat kind of looks like this. So we have a basal metabolic rate, and there's an equation that you can utilize to plug in the information that I had mentioned previously. So you can look this up online. There's, you know, I think there's a basal metabolic rate equation, like Cite, a bunch of, I know MyFitnessPal also has, calculates this out for you. And so you plug in some of your basic numbers and it spits out a calorie number for you to consume to either maintain or lose weight. So I also think that with everyone, our calories kind of cycle from day to day anyways. So I think it's, again, good to utilize that number as a basic guideline, not to, you know, feel a lot of stress if you go over or under based off of how your body is feeling. But that number, you can kind of work with your coach on really determining and refining that number. But that's sort of the basics of where to start with your calorie intake. And then we kind of refine and go from there with our macronutrients. So, Kurt, you want to go on the macros?
Yeah, guys. So macros, if we look at calories, calories are composed of macros. So the units of energy that you're getting in the food are coming from either a source of protein, carbohydrate, or fat. So all food is going to be made up of some component of these and not necessarily all three. Obviously, if we look at, let's say, a steak, okay, you've got a New York strip steak. It is going to have a decent amount of protein and, you know, depending on the cut of meat, probably a decent amount of fat as well. So knowing what macros are in your food can also help with your performance, your degree of able to lose weight. I think we find with our clients that there's a different ratio that seems to work, you know, for everybody. It's not one universal, hey, you guys need to do this exact percentage of macros of your protein, your carbohydrates, and your fat intake every single day. There's different reasons for that, and to not get too in-depth with that, it's kind of going to go back, though, to what our calories are. As Therese was mentioning, you can get that BMR, the basal metabolic rate, on basically any caloric counting type app, or just Google it, and there'll be a website for you to punch that information in. But it bases it off of a scientific-ish formula based on averages. So averages are going to be across the board when we really lay down all the different numbers. Not everybody is going to handle that potato chip in the exact same way. Based on, again, your past experiences with food, you know, it's shown that when people, the body, I mean, it's amazing that the research that we come across and the studies are, you know, we find we geek out on those types of things. And, you know, one of the cool things we're looking at is the body is still in this prehistoric caveman type scenario with how our metabolism works. When we lose weight, our body sends out different signals and changes the dynamics of how it functions. So when we are able, when people start to gain weight back, which typically happens with most dieting, yo-yo diets, we've all been there, the roller coaster, your weight goes down, it goes back up, maybe it goes down again, it goes back up. But what we start to find is all of a sudden, we're not losing weight as easily as we were able to in the past. And that's part of your body's adaptation system to defend itself against starvation. So if you've done diets in the past that have really crashed your calories, taken in low, low, low amounts of different macros, your body will, again, set up defenses to not allow itself to lose fat or lose weight as easily. So this is where how much protein, carbohydrates, and fats that you intake can be more important to know in your planning with your coach. Therese, you want to give maybe a general recommendation, what people can look at, you know, as just a baseline?
Yeah. So again, once you have the calories somewhat determined, you can then start breaking down the proteins, fats, and carbohydrates and gauge your intake there. So generally speaking, We can break it down to about 30% protein, 30% carbs, 40% fat. And the carbs and fat can be, you know, somewhat maybe a little bit more manipulated to be interchangeable, but it really depends on the person and it depends on activity level and feasibility and all of that too. So I like that ratio just because I think that, you know, the protein gets bumped up a little bit. The RDA recommendation right now is 0.8 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight. And so for a 150-pound person, that's going to break down to about 54 grams of protein. And I believe that is insufficient. Those guidelines were kind of created in research where it was more focused on disease prevention and not necessarily about, you know, what we need to really truly thrive. And I think that protein just serves such enormous functions and benefits in our body, and we need a little bit more. So that 30% tends to be a good starting point. And then the carbs and fat, you know, 30% carbs, that's a chunk down from what the guidelines are actually currently. I think it's around 40 to 60%. And so we're bringing those carbohydrates down, not necessarily because carbs are this awful macronutrient, but honestly, they are a little bit more overly consumed. And usually not in the greatest of sources, right? It's not like people are consuming an enormous amount of sweet potatoes. They're generally coming from other sources that aren't quite so nutrient dense. And then the fat is kind of bumped up. 40%, people aren't really used to consuming too much fat, but fat provides so many wonderful functions in the body. We need fat and the good high quality fats and to really thrive. And I think with this ratio of macronutrients, the body learns to adapt a little bit more to become less dependent on carbohydrates and glucose, and now starts to become a little bit more efficient utilizing fat for fuel, which is ultimately very beneficial in the long run. It's just much more efficient. And so that's very general. It's always good to talk to your coach if you need different specifications of your ratio. And it kind of depends where you're coming from right now too. You know, we mentioned in the last podcast, we don't want this to be an 180 degree change for you. We want steps, and we want this to be feasible for you. And so if going from 60% to 70% carbs to 30%, I mean, that's a pretty big change. So again, we're looking at the steps and looking at what's reasonable and can work for you and the individual, but that tends to be a pretty good guideline to start with.
Yeah, and to help you guys out with some more information that you guys can go seek out there, get from your coach, Therese has actually broke down a couple different videos and other resources that she has available that really go into fats and talking about what type of fat, you know, that you want in your diet, which ones you need to avoid, what's the difference between sunflower oil, vegetable oils, all these different types of oils we see going into these processed foods. So you can be more educated and aware of that when you're shopping. And again, also something that your coaches can help you with. Another resource we have is actually kind of, we've gone to a lot of the big stores and put together pictures of products there that we feel are, you know, something that are worth buying, putting in your cart, that are going to help you when you want a quick snack or just in general, healthy meals for dinner and stuff. So that's another resource you have with the program.
And those are on the YouTube channel?
Yeah, our YouTube channels where you can find some of those. The other stuff would be in your modules you're getting with the 8 weeks out program too. Cool. And, you know, I'll give you one other kind of a awesome tip that I've found over the years with clients and looking at how much macros should we prescribe for somebody, that you are in, this is just a way of looking at it. If you are the type of body type that seems to be really lean, you carry most of your your extra weight, and I'm talking about, you know, a decent amount of extra weight in your waist. So it's all there around your waist, your belly, but your arms, your legs are on the leaner side. I have found, and now this isn't scientific, you know, this isn't straight across the board, but in a lot of cases, that's a good indication of somebody who's not handling their blood sugars really well. They're storing that fat around their waist, which is also a highly critical place to store your fat, because now we're putting different pressures around your organs and allowing, changing their ability to function and the blood flow in that area. Now, with that person that is, again, not handling, you know, their blood sugars are running higher in general. That person taking a lower carb approach, you know, maybe lower than that 30% mark we give the general recommendation for, would be something that they want to start looking towards. And again, this is a stair-step approach, not going all in right away and doing the 180-degree approach Therese mentioned. Now, adversely, if you are someone who kind of has evenly stored fat across their body, that general recommendation we give you might be a great place to start. We also find those of you guys that are leaner altogether, you're more athletic, you have more muscle on your body, they tend to handle carbs better and they can do better and sometimes maybe even need more carbs in their diet based on their current training and lifestyle demands. So that could bump that number up to 40%, even 60%, or even higher for some individuals. It really varies. Let's go into the next level of this, micros. So we know there's calories in food. We know there's macros in food. What are the micros in food, Therese?
So micronutrients are the players in the game that don't really get a lot of the glory. This is kind of how I picture them. You know, the macronutrients get so much attention. They're kind of the ones scoring the goals, and the micronutrients are like the defense. And they are vitamins and minerals, okay? So they are the small compounds that make up your food. And so when we talk about nutrient density, that's referring to the amount of micronutrients concentrated in certain foods. So I know that I've talked about how nutrient dense liver is, or leafy greens, or other organ meats, or like bone broth. Like these are foods that are loaded with micronutrients, and we want that, okay? If we focus too much on macronutrients and we're just checking off these boxes of hitting our protein, hitting our carbs, hitting our fat, a lot of times we aren't that focused on the quality of our food, right? We were consuming protein shakes regularly, or, you know, grains to hit our carbs, or maybe we're getting poor quality ground beef just to hit our fats, or, you know, anything like that takes us away from what we're actually consuming. The micronutrients provide very pivotal, imperative roles in our body, okay? They're the enzymes, they're the cofactors that create all of these metabolic, the contributors for our metabolism and all the finer roles, okay? So, I mean, hormones, it's crazy, like so many things. So it's very important we're getting adequate amounts of micronutrients. So that's when we focus on, okay, what are we actually eating? What is our food comprised of? And we kind of move from there. There's a few ways we can track this, right? So sometimes nutrition labels have some indicators of a few different micronutrients, but you know, we're not seeing the big list that has potential for a lot of our foods. And you know, the foods that probably are the most dense in micronutrients won't have a nutrition label. So we have a few apps that we know of that can track this. I know Chronometer is one, and you guys can download this and start recording your food just to sort of check it out and see. Sometimes, you know, when you get your labs done, you may have certain deficiencies in, you know, vitamin D, which is a micronutrient, or Iron, right? So these are micronutrients, and labs can be indicators of where you are at with some of those as well. Although there are a couple other factors with getting labs done and how accurate they are with that current state. But they are, that can be a tool as well. Kurt, do you know of any other apps or?
You know, a website you guys can check out is nutritiondata.com, and that does a great job of breaking down the micros, the macros, even giving you an idea of the level of satisfaction your body can receive from certain foods. And that's totally based on protein, fat, and these micros. Some of those food cravings you have might be stemming from the idea that your body is seeking out more of, you know, vitamin A or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So it's turning you towards these types of foods that the different types of bitterness or saltiness taste would normally be associated with those vitamins. So looking at those and trying to put out those fires, eating a source of whole foods is really going to help satisfy and check off all those boxes. The kind of cool stuff we're seeing also in science right now is learning about absorption and learning about how those micros, those micronutrients are packed in your foods is really unique for each and every food that you eat. So when you eat something like, you know, a parsley is one that I always thought was like a garnish that was not important, but there's actually some really interesting stuff coming out about parsley right now. And when you look at those nutrients that are in parsley or beets or, you know, that New York steak, we try and, you know, there's companies that one, people need, they're lacking in these types of nutrients in their diet. You find out you're low in iron. So your doctor wants to prescribe you some type of a pill for you to take. So you go take an iron supplement. Well, that iron supplement is not the same thing. I mean, on a scientific level, yes, it is iron, it's phosphorus or ferrous, not just like what you would find in, let's say, liver, one of the most densest sources of iron in our diets. It is the same on that chemical level, but the way it's packed in there, the way it receives, your body receives it, is not the same. So your body's able, your ability to process that, absorb that, take that iron in and actually utilize it is not the same. And that goes with all the micronutrients and foods that you guys are eating. So I think that's kind of, do you want to add anything like that? And before we talk about supplements?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I mean, supplements can have a certain role in the diet, but again, the whole food intake plays such a bigger, has such a bigger impact on your actual absorption of those nutrients. That's really important to understand. In addition to that, your gut microbiome, you know, the way that you take in foods, you know, these whole foods, they will affect the gut bacteria differently, and then therefore the nutrients will be absorbed differently. Okay. If you just take the individual supplement, a lot of times we're not getting that same type of absorption through the gut because your gut bacteria is a little bit imbalanced because you're not consuming the appropriate whole foods to help help change the biome so that it is in a state to actually absorb and utilize the nutrients appropriately.
Yeah, that's a really important addition to that is the gut microbiome and how much that's affected by the whole foods that you are eating or any foods that you are eating. That supplements aren't going to play near as much of a role in changing. So your ability, these are symbiotic relationships. Your body and these bacteria within it work together in a sense in order for you to thrive or break down certain foods or create the enzymes you need to break down those foods. And if your diet has never consumed much, you know, I found this with clients and even myself at times where you're not eating a lot of, let's say, salads, and then you take in a big salad or leafy greens and it actually causes an upset stomach. And again, it's because it's not something that your body was. These are great foods. We know they're nutrient packed and they're something that we are, you know, quotations supposed to be eating, but your body's ability to handle that food when it hasn't seen it for a long time, it doesn't have the bacteria ready to help break that down. and you just overload it, that's like making this quick change with the diet. That's why we want you to stair-step this approach in order to create success for yourself by just making small changes at a time. So jumping into supplements and, you know, talking about these micronutrients, which are typically what supplements are targeting, what supplements do we recommend? And, you know, especially considering with what we just said, you know, why would we want to take supplements?
So I, yeah, supplements are just so tricky to me, but, and I go through kind of waves of liking them and then not liking them just based off of clients and research, but there are a handful that have a lot of promising research behind them. And for many individuals, they can be beneficial. Not all supplements are created equal, and I think it's really, really, really important to find the highest quality that you can. And if you have questions on what that means, then ask us. And because supplements aren't regulated so much, people can kind of put whatever they want in them and on the container and market it as they wish. And so it's important to understand that first and foremost. With that said, the handful that we kind of talk about often here, we got vitamin D, you know, especially during the winter months, I think it's really important. And fish oil, multivitamin, and probiotics, okay? So let's back up a little bit and kind of go to fish oil and break that down a little bit. So fish oil, you know, there can be cod liver oil too, krill oil. We're mostly looking to get an additional omega-3 influx into our dietary intake. Okay, so we are the majority of us take in too many omega-6 fatty acids and not enough omega-3s, and the omega-3s are imperative to, again, so many functions in the body, and also, I mean, brain function. There's like just countless functions that the omega-3s and fats in general can really provide for us. But the omega-3s have a lot of research around them where they are just not consumed at the level that is essential for improved functioning and optimal functioning. And so that fish oil can really help supplement our intake. Anything else on the fish oil?
You know, just looking for the DHA, EPA, you know, I like that to be actually stated on the label.
Yeah, that's true.
One brand that I would recommend that, you know, you check out when you're shopping for your fish oil is Rosita's Extra Virgin Cod Liver Oil. That would probably be, you know, my recommendation to shoot for there. Try that one out. They've got different forms of it. The liquid version is the one that I particularly utilize. Yes, it has a fishy taste, but you know, it's not that big of a deal. You know, you can get over it or get used to it. My kids that are, ages 1 to 6, they all take it and they, for some reason, actually seem to like it. So yeah, I think everyone can get used to it, or you can take the pill version, which, you know, doesn't have the same fishy taste. They also coat it with like peppermint oil or something like that. So if you do happen to burp it up and you get that fish taste later, it's a little bit more minty.
Yeah. Yeah. The EPA and DHA, to go back to that, I think, you know, having 1,000 milligrams of EPA and DHA in the supplement is, I don't know, on the minimal end that you want. And I think that that's actually really hard to find for many people. I know that I've seen supplements that market like, hey, we've got, you know, 1500 milligrams of omega-3s. And then you look at the back and it's EPA and DHA composes 300. And so you're like, what else is in here? You know, what are these other oils that I'm getting? And you want to be kind of careful with that, because there can be, again, a lot of filler oils that are actually rather inflammatory for the body. So just kind of taking note there, and the specific recommendations, again, you should chat with either your medical professional or your coach, and we can go from there. Multivitamins, again, supplements. We kind of covered how micronutrients are best absorbed when they're eaten in whole foods, but sometimes your body can utilize the micronutrients in multivitamins and in a supplemental fashion. And there are certain micronutrients that just are particularly hard to get in diets. I know K2 is kind of challenging for folks, and there are some others. And so is there a multivitamin that you know that you like particularly?
Yeah, actually. So one that addresses that K2 issue is the Nutrient 950 with vitamin K. Now, note that it's with vitamin K because they do have ones that don't add in that extra vitamin K. They've got multiple different options in their supplement line. But yeah, Nutrient 950 is the one that my wife used all the way through, you know, pregnancy with those three kids. And we continue to use, and, you know, I do too, like the idea, like, yeah, I don't eat a perfect diet, not every day, not always or anytime by any means. So I do sprinkle in a vitamin, multivitamin, you know, periodically just to kind of cover my bases. So that's the one that we've always used or we've stuck with now for, you know, at least 6 to 8 years probably.
So lastly, the probiotic, I'm going to be somewhat brief on this one because it's honestly the one that requires the most individualization, okay? So probiotics, you're ingesting, probiotics are the bacteria, okay? Prebiotics feed bacteria, probiotics are the bacteria. And so everybody kind of needs something unique to their own gut when it comes to probiotics. And there are some that are pretty good quality that we can kind of generally recommend, but you're going to get such a range of strains and concentrations of strains in any probiotic that you look up. So I really would say first and foremost, talk to, again, your medical provider, or you can get some input from your coach and see what they recommend. Probiotics are great though. I mean, they have a lot of promising research around them, and in terms of trying to help build that gut microbiome back up in the proper ratios. And so that can be something that you look into kind of on your own or with your professional. I also have a blog that I wrote on probiotics that you can find on the CoreFit website that might detail a little bit more of what you personally may need. I mean, they get pretty specific with certain diseases and conditions and you know, how do you know what you need? So that's can be found on the website.
Yeah, guys, we'll add the link to the show notes here for that blog, as well as some of the other resources we mentioned that are out there for people, like nutritiondata.com. So with that, don't forget to go back if you haven't yet. This is about the third podcast in this series for the 8 Weeks Out program. We've got a couple more that are after this as well. So, you know, if you're really trying to optimize your living and feel like your best self, I really recommend, even if you're not partaking in the 8 Weeks Out program, we're giving all this information out there here to give you guys the idea of where to get started and get a more clear picture of how to achieve that status of feeling your best.
Yeah, I think that's that pretty much wraps it up for this session. And again, check out the website, check out YouTube. We've got those resources for you guys to just gain more knowledge. Okay. This is all about you and helping you figure out what is the next step to become healthier and your best self.
All right. Thanks, guys.